Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a very important show and a very special guest. Today Mr. Steven Settlemyer joins us. He started at age 16 in aerospace, working for Martin Marietta. He was the youngest National Science Foundation recipient for a study in Arctic and Alpine weather. He attended the Colorado School of Mines and University of Colorado, where he studied theoretical mathematics, computers, electronics, and geophysics. After graduating from college, his work included working for NASA, perfecting the camera and lens used on the Mars Land Rover, to creating a display of over 1 million pixels, which led to the creation of flat-screen TV. Over the last 20 years, he's been working on making the world a better place through technology, specifically water purification and bottled water. He founded Divinia Water in 2015, and he is now the Chief Technology Officer. His work focuses on natural health, healing, medicine, and sustainability. He's written a book on water and digestion, currently sold on Amazon. I'd like to welcome you today, Mr. Settlemyer. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me on the show and giving me a voice.
Well, it's a pleasure. That's what this show's about. It's about giving people who are doing wonderful work a platform so that people can learn about what they're doing. You know, I've never really heard of an engineer branching out like you have into the health field, and I find it fascinating. How did you come to start thinking about this, and how did you come to this idea?
No, it's not. When you go to engineering school, the last thing you study is biology or anything that has to do with medicine. You're more concerned with the physics and mechanics and electronics of the world that we create, flat-screen TVs, computers, that sort of thing, bridges, roads, rocket ships. Yet one of the things that we ignore is that the human body is this marvelous mechanical invention, creation. And it far surpasses anything that we've ever done or could even do. There's we talk about supercomputers. Well, just even one little cell in our body does almost more calculations per second than the fastest supercomputer does. It's amazing. It's amazing that the billions of operations that go on per second in a cell. One of the things I like to tell people, and they have problems even fathoming this, is that every cell in your body should have 1 million molecules of water flowing through it per second for you to be healthy. 1 million molecules of water per second per cell for you to be healthy. And a lot of people, is that not amazing? You can't even fathom that. You can't even fathom that amount. And people, one of the questions I always get is, how do you know if you're hydrated? I tell them the real answer is, you have 1 million molecules per second of water falling through your cells. Whatever that takes to accomplish that. And that's how you're healthy. And you know, the cell itself is extremely complicated. It does a lot of calculations. It actually looks at all the chemicals in your blood, all the minerals in your blood. It calculates what you need in that second, in that trillionth of a second. It does an operation. It does a chemical reaction. And it then throws part of it away, part of it for recycling, uses part of it for energy. And all that's going on a million times per second in every cell of your body. It's just you can't even fathom it. So the way I got started in this, back to the original question, you said it was unusual. Yes, because most engineers and scientists and mathematicians or whatever think, you know, we're the end on, we've created this great thing and it's got a million pixels on TV or something like that, and in beam RF. That is pale in comparison with what the human body does. So my wife of many years was what I like to refer to as a water snob. And I was like every other probably engineer or scientist out there. Water is water, you know, H2O. And I did not realize how complicated even water is. Water is extremely complicated. And we take it for granted that water is just H2O, which is not correct. There's many forms of water. And a lot of the studies people are looking at have shown that water is a social molecule. It likes to be around other water. And one of the easiest ways to look at that is if you look up in the sky and you look at the clouds and you see there's clouds. But yet under the normal physics law, those clouds should be dispersed, that water drop should be dispersed everywhere. And we should have a total cover, or it should even be transparent because all the water should be spread out over the atmosphere. Yet look up at the sky and you'll see they congregate together. They like to be together. And it's even that congregation of water gathering together, rubbing against each other, and being energized by the sun that causes tornadoes, hurricanes, lightning, everything else. So water is very important to even life here on Earth. And so I found all this out since I started studying it. And to me, one of the most fascinating studies on Earth is water. And of course, when you start looking at water, in all the different forms of it, because there's more than just one form of H2O. And when you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the hydrogen that's in water can be a normal hydrogen with one electron, or it can be heavy water, deuterium, which so that formula would be HDO. And then there's D2O, and there's a lot of different forms. It turns out there's 9 different forms of water in different percentages. And, you know, the oxygen, even the oxygen that's attached to water, it can be an O16 or O17 or O18, which means it has 17 or 18 or 16 electrons in it. So when you really start looking and examining water, you find out all these different anomalies to it. For instance, this only substance on the face of the Earth, that when you freeze it, it gets bigger. It consumes a larger volume. Everything else on the face of the Earth, when you freeze it, it gets smaller. Yet, just by that one anomaly, if ice didn't get bigger, if it didn't expand, then ice would not float on top of lakes, it would sink to the bottom. And by sinking to the bottom, it would kill most of the fish. So, I mean, there's a lot of these extreme little nuances in water. And then you start thinking, well, if water is all these different forms and it interacts differently with all these substances, then what does it do to the fundamental value of life itself? And as we have found out mostly that you can't exist without water and life. And even on distant planets, when all our astrophysicists and astronomers look, the first thing they look for is water. That's one of the very first things they look for. And they look for what form is that water in? Can it be a form that can support life? And there's, you know, I even hypothesize that going back millions of years, that water was different the different form that we have now. And that's one of the reasons why the dinosaurs lived here, and they were much bigger than where we are today. It had to do with the form of the water that they had versus our form of water. And, of course, the plants and everything else. So they lived. Well, one of the differences is the deuterium level. And in fact, the deuterium, which is also called heavy water or forms heavy water, was much different then than what it is now. And one of the ways that they actually look at life on distant planets is they try to look at the form of the water, whether it's heavier water or lighter water. And even here, our geologists, when carbon dating fails them, they go to the deuterium levels to look at the age of the planet or the trees or the dinosaurs or any of the minerals. And they look, the first thing they look for is the deuterium levels. And by that, they can date how old a fossil is, how old a tree is, how old anything is that has water in it. And so the deuterium levels were much different then than they are now. And just by that difference in deuterium, probably caused different growth rates. For instance, if you drink too much deuterium water, it kills you. It's a deadly water. It looks like our water. It acts like our water. Freezes a little bit different, but it's very deadly to the human cells. And what they have found out with deuterium in water, that there's an optimum amount for our species right now to be drinking to stay healthy. Have you heard of the Hunza people? Okay. What started a lot of this is there's a group of people in China that are called the Hunza people, and they live up at a very high altitude. They eat very poorly, yet they're some of the longest living people on the face of the earth. It's typical for them to be over 100 years, 105 years. I think the oldest one was 129 years. And they found out that the only real difference that they smoke camel dung, and they smoke a lot, and they drink a lot, which is antithesis of everything we tell people to stay long and healthy here. The only difference was that they drank the deuterium-depleted water. And since then, they've found a lot of other isolated peoples that are drinking deuterium-depleted water and find out they're the longest living on the face of the earth.
You know, I'm a biology major, and I had no idea there were this many different types of water. And, you know, we talk about the different types of water that are available, whether that's ozone, reverse osmosis, distilled, and even tap water. We're talking about different qualities, and people really need to understand that. It really makes a difference, frankly, in terms of your health. Now, from what you're saying, there's no reason to drink tap water, is there?
Yeah. Well, tap water is toxic, and I don't care what you do to it. Most of it is toxic. There's 80,000 chemicals right now in our water, and the FDA only looks for 40 to 80 of them. If you get a test, you get a good test, they might look at 80 chemicals in the water. Yet there's 80,000 chemicals in our water. And the remaining 79,920 chemicals, they have no idea what effects it has on the human body. None whatsoever. And the only reason that they usually look at something in the water when it becomes too high is that a large majority of the populace that drinks it has some sort of health problems. Arsenic is one of them. You know, most people don't really look for arsenic, but in the past 10 years, they've started to, 5 years, because they found out that it's a large problem. Probably 60% of people in the United States drink something that has arsenic in it or more. Yet arsenic is rather deadly, and it kills your liver and your kidneys. I think it's 40% of the people in the United States actually drink nuclear radiated water, which means that it's got higher deuterium in the number one, and it's probably also given off in gamma rays. There's been a lot of reports of towns that knew that the people have been drinking radiated water for years, and these are all, you can search them and find them on Google, that people have drank radiated water for years, yet the town's administration did not tell them about it because they didn't have the money to fix the water. And that's the problem with tap water, is there is no money to really fix that solution. The other thing is that they have to do something to try to keep the organics out of it, with the chlorine in it. Yet the byproducts of putting chlorine in water with organic material that kills it, bacteria, etc., is that it causes two off chemicals to be created that gives us cancer. So I would say probably maybe 50 to 60% of people in the United States are drinking water that actually has cancer-causing substances easily. You know, right now the rate for men to get cancer in their lifetime is over 50%. And women, it started out, they were the lower. They were 28 to 30%. I think they're about 35, 36%. And I jokingly say women are starting to get equality in the amount of cancer they get compared to men. But to me, that's abhorrent. You know, actually abhorrent that even 1% of people would get cancer from drinking water. Yet, you know, we're probably at 50, 60% right now. And of course, when I say drinking water, that means that our food supply, the same water that we drink, the animals drink, the plants get fed. You know, we have Roundup in it, we have DDT in it, we have PFOA, the DuPont, Teflon in it. You know, and that's now called the forever chemical, because they found out 99.9% of people on the face of the earth have Teflon in them. And you can't get it out of you. Supposedly you can't get it out of you. So it's called a forever chemical. So when you start looking at water, it then covers all these secrets that are being withheld from us. And most, I would say most medical professionals probably are not taught any role in how does water interact with your digestive system, or they're even, most of them are not taught that the digestive system is probably the basis for your health in the first place. You know, they always say the immunity starts in the gut, and that's true. And now the big buzzword in the medical profession is inflammation. But water, if you don't drink the proper water, inflammation starts right there. And then any food you put into it, it just exasperates the problem. So you spoke about alkaline water. I'm totally against alkaline water. Just if you study the biology of the human body, and in fact, if you look at my book, you'll find that the illustration on the front cover happens to do with the pH of all your digestive system. And for instance, your mouth starts out at 6.78 to 7.5 pH, somewhere in that range. You don't want it too acidic, nor do you want it too alkaline, or it'll destroy your teeth. Then the next thing is that, you know, the bowl, when you chew the bowl, the amount of material you're chewing is called the bowl, B-O-L-E. It goes down your esophagus and it hits in your stomach, and your stomach wants to be at 1.5 to 2.5 pH. And it's at 1.5 to 2.5 pH that the enzymes are active in there. And the enzymes actually act to unfold your proteins so that they can become amino acids. So the amino acids are dissolved in your stomach. Well, the problem is you drink alkaline water. The first thing it does is it messes with the 1.5 to 2.5 pH that your stomach wants to be. And so when you start messing with that, then all of a sudden your food is not digested. It's not unrolled correctly. You're not doing it so that your bile then tries to increase the pH so it dumps more bile in it. So it's just a closed loop that you're causing problems. And your blood, everybody talks about regulating your blood, and you want your blood to be about 7.35 pH, and you can't go plus or minus more than about 0.1 or 0.2 points on it. And everybody talks about adjusting the alcohol in your blood. Do you know the easiest way to adjust the alkalinity of your blood or the acidity of your blood? This is like the trick question. It's breathing. It's breathing. It's because of the CO2. It's that simple. And so it is breathing. If you want to increase the alkalinity of your blood, you breathe nice and slow. You take in deep breaths, hold it a little bit, and exhaust the CO2, because all the oxygen level and the CO2, and it's the CO2 that increases or decreases the alkalinity in your blood, is through your lungs. And they show people can raise their lower their alkalinity just by breathing properly. It's that simple.
On that note, let's think about that and take our break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Settlemyer. And before the break, we were learning about the difference between the different types of water and how important it is to make a good decision. It's important to make a decision. If you still want to use tap water or even drink bottled water, this is a show that you really need to listen to, because your choices do matter. So, Mr. Settlemyer, how do you make the Divinia water? What makes it different compared to the other types of water available?
Well, one of the first things we do is we go through about 16 different steps before it runs through a processor that I invented. And the first thing that we do, the first steps, is we strip everything out of the water. There's nothing in it. There's no calcium, magnesium. But on the other hand, there's no arsenic, there's no plutonium, uranium, PFOA, microplastics. There's nothing in the water. It's an ultra-pure water. But because it also goes through different steps, it goes through UV, it goes through ozone, reverse osmosis, and also it gets distilled, vapor compressed distilled. It's kind of a dead water at that point, is that it's stripped of everything, but it's still its energy level. Then what we do is we run it through a processor, a find that I invented, that actually changes the H2O stretch bond, the bond between the hydrogen and oxygen, that changes some spins in there, and it brings it to a much higher energy level. And so it's a very pure water with a high energy level. It actually has the energy of steam built into it at room temperature. So at room temperature, it's equivalent to the chemical energy of steam. So all the processes are much faster. And now, one of the big arguments is, well, if it's pure water, it's going to strip everything out of your body, which is totally ludicrous. And in fact, we just did a study with pro soccer players over in England. And we put five of the people on the team, on a pro soccer on this water and gave them no Gatorade, no electrolytes, nothing. They all they did was eat and drink this water. And what it found out is that they were high in something, it brought them to the normal level. And if it was low, it brought them to the middle level. So it made no difference if they were high or low in anything. It always normalized them. And that includes all their markers for their kidneys and their livers and everything else. So what we proved, and this has been proven by thousands and thousands of people that have been on this water, is that you don't get your electrolytes, you don't get your food value out of drinking water. You actually get your food value out of eating food, believe it or not. And that's our bodies were designed. Our body is, and everybody's a little bit different, but when you start digesting your food, within 1/1,000,000th of a second that you put food in your mouth, even before it hits your mouth, because of your sensory perception, your brain has told your stomach what's coming down and what it needs to do to digest that food. And it prepares all the enzymes, it starts excreting the enzymes in there, and when that food hits your stomach, what happens is that the enzymes, and it has to be in that narrow range, 1.5 to 2.5 pH, which is acidic, starts to unravel the proteins in all the foods that you've eaten, and it starts unraveling them or denaturing them properly. When food is formed or proteins are formed, it goes through this naturing system, which they call naturing. What it really is an electromagnetic chemical method of folding everything up into a nice little compact ball. And so, as you know, and maybe your listeners do too, proteins are made of amino acids. And we always hear everybody says, well, you gotta take amino acids to be a bodybuilder or this or that. And you're missing this amino acid or you're missing that amino acid. Well, I guess you're what? Your body doesn't know what to do with amino acids in your stomach. It knows what to do with proteins, but not amino acids. And the amino acids that we create in the supplements are not the same unfolding. And think of a handkerchief. If you have a handkerchief, and I'm talking to you, you know all this. When you fold a handkerchief, you fold it in a particular method so it looks nice, or even a table. And you get this geological shape. And then when you unfold it, it goes back to what it was. Well, that's kind of what your body wants. And our enzymes, we're all different, like I said, because of our cultures, of the food we might have ate, or whether we didn't wear shoes when we were young and we walked in the dirt, and we absorbed more of the bacteria out of the earth, or whatever the circumstance is. And that creates the environment in our stomach. And that environment in the stomach wants food in a particular fashion so that it can unravel it, move it down into the next portion of your colon to start digesting it properly. You know, you probably know what leaky gut is. But leaky gut is when the stomach doesn't unravel the proteins. The proteins go all the way through, and when they do go through, then the next portion of your body doesn't know what to do with it. And then that leaks right into because it's dried out and there's cracks in the cell walls, then you start having to worry about protein going directly into your blood. And your blood doesn't know what to do with proteins. It knows what to do with amino acids that go to the liver. The liver reforms the proper amino acids into its own proteins. and it distributes that through the blood. It's a very complicated system.
I agree.
And like I say, your immunity starts with it. And when you drink water that messes with that whole system, you're messing with your total immunity. You're messing with your thought ideas. If the chemicals are not digested properly, they go into your bloodstream and they mess with everything else in there. I mean, we are a biological system. And to optimize that biological system, which to us means health and clear thinking, to optimize it, you need to put the right things into it. It's like a car. You don't run diesel in a gasoline engine, nor do you run gasoline in a diesel engine. They don't know what to do with it. They're both fuels, but they're the incorrect fuel. So what you have to do is put the right fuel into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that fuel that starts with it is the water, and it has to be the proper water. It can't be any water. It has to be the proper water. And as the Hunza people found out, if you drink this deuterium-depleted water, it helps with your digestive system, and you live longer. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible tells us that people used to live to 800, 900 years old. And as we keep moving towards modern era, our life expectancies have got shorter and shorter. And the one of the things that have changed over that period of time is water. And of course, our faith in God. But, the water has changed drastically, and it had much more higher levels of deuterium in it than it used to.
So what you're saying is the body is self-healing, and all the building blocks are in place to correct the system if we would just get out of the way. I mean, this is a system that's created by God that's really perfection. And it's nice to know that we have the power with our choices to help the system, help our bodies correct issues. I mean, if we're talking about being able to have abnormal parameters come to normal just by drinking water, I mean, this is pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, you hit it right on the head. You hit it right on the head. If we get out of the way, God makes it absolutely perfect system.
I agree. Let's take our next break. You're living in the solution.
If you missed the show, you can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and a host of other multimedia platforms. Subscribe and share it with your friends.
This is Dr. George. Each week I speak about our healthcare system and the problems with it. One of the main problems is the doctor-patient relationship. I've found that patients really crave time, the time to ask their doctor questions, and physicians crave the time to answer those questions in a thorough manner. Towards that end, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is pleased to announce a new video telemedicine service. We now offer consultation for second opinions and for people who'd like to learn more and ask questions about how to navigate the healthcare system in a cost-effective and efficient manner. Go to peachtreeentcenter.video-visits.com to learn more. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Settlemyer. He's authored a book, The Digestive Process and the Role of Water in Digestive Health, Digestion Explained, with How Water Affects Digestion and Health. This can be purchased on Amazon.com, and people need to go to his website, which is Divinia Water, D-I-V-I-N-I-A, water.com, one word. You know, before the break, we were talking about the importance and the power of drinking water. You know, I see people in my office daily with problems with acid reflux. And now that I have this ammunition, I have a lot more tools in my arsenal. Instead of just telling people to take omeprazole or any other antacid, now we can start thinking about fixing the problem instead of masking the symptom. So if water is so powerful, imagine things like the antacids and the medication that we prescribe, how that actually may actually work in an opposite way. Is that correct?
No, it's the opposite of what you should be doing. Because the minute you put in something, calcium or whatever it is, to fight reflux, the first thing your stomach needs to do is up its pH again. And so it dumps more bile in it. In fact, a lot of people now swear with reflux, as a reflux, is to drink vinegar. And of course, vinegar is an acid. Because what you're trying to do is stop your stomach from generating more bile and more acid. You want it to calm down. And of course, again, I have to reiterate, they found out that you want your stomach to be 1.5 to 2.5. Now, as the bile starts traveling through, when it hits the duodenum, it actually wants to be, we're about 5.7, so it increases it. And then as it travels all the way through, it keeps increasing it. And then it goes through the ileum and lower intestine. What it really wants to do is keep increasing it, because that's what how your body is built. It's just, we're all built that way. There's nobody that's different. And of course, as you probably know, acid reflux is because the little flaps that control the food in between the different portions actually get damaged. And as, I'm sorry? Yeah, the sphincters. They actually get damaged. And they don't stop things from flowing in the direction they're supposed to be. They come back up. And a lot of that is caused by just the wrong pH of things we put into it. And you spoke about, you know, putting in sodas, like you say, or Gatorade, which is almost pure sugar. It's really not electrolytes. It's mostly sugar. That causes damage to it, too. I mean, what we need to do, of course, is increase the amount of greens that we eat. Because the greens are a nice, most of the greens are alkaline. And that does tend to be able to be digested very properly in the stomach. But when you start throwing in sodas and that sort of stuff, you start screwing all that stuff up again. So, you know, the best thing you can do is just eat a normal diet with very nutrient-rich foods. The problem is we don't. We eat bread. Bread has a lot of sugar in it. Bread has wheat in it that has been GMO. Most wheat now has somewhere, I believe, the latest statistic I saw, 200 to 1,000 different modifications to it, whereas the original wheat, which is called einkorn, E-I-N-K-O-R-N, only has, I believe it's 7 different DNA strands, and now we're up to 200 to 300. They even now modify it, and they have been able to put in DDT into it, and they have been able to put Roundup into it. They've actually patched in, and they finally had to take this out, but they actually patched the plasticizers into the DNA chain so that the food will last longer on the market. Now, this is the same plastic that computers are made out of, your cell phones are made out of, plastics in car. They actually modified the wheat to accept that, and that made the things plastic and last in the food stores longer. And they had to take that out about 5 years ago. But they can still put Roundup into it. They can still patch DDT into it. That sort of stuff. So that is not a very nutrient-rich In fact, it's the exact opposite. The cows, we try to, our family make sure if we eat the meat, we eat the free-range cows without any hormones in it. But as you probably know, there's hormones, growth hormones in the milk. There's growth hormones in the cows. They can't legally put them in chickens anymore, nor can they give chickens antibiotics. But, you know, everything has these artificial chemicals in it, and our body just is not built for artificial chemicals. We were built for natural.
So this can be a whole new paradigm of health where we really start taking stock of the artificial, the chemical, the genetically modified foods that we're putting in our body. Because if water is this powerful as a sustaining life force, essentially, then just imagine if people would make small choices, how much disease can be eradicated. I mean, there's this on your website, people, again, need to go to, there's a science section, and there's a something from the WHO that says 90% of diseases are caused by unclean water and dehydration. Imagine how much that 90% also is triggered by poor food choices, lack of quality, dense food that we're able to eat. And I'm not sure that the agri business, you know, the corporate farming is adding anything good to our baseline and to our cellular structure and our otherwise the foundation of our health. I mean, we just talked about genetically modified food and all these chemicals that are in these diet sodas, etc. If we would just do a couple of things, that could make a huge, again, I mean, it's a mantra, it can make a huge difference, just small choices. And I personally would rather not get sick and not have to go into this healthcare system as it stands now. It's not about health. It's not about choice. It's really one, a top-down driven system where one size fits all. And the thing they're trying to get us to do doesn't fit really anybody, if you want to be honest.
Yeah. No, it is incredible. Unfortunately, you know, we break our bodies down as we get older. That's really what aging is. And you just keep building stuff up more and more. And the more you build it up, the more you're going to pay for it later.
Is it possible to think of it in such a way that it's able to pull you back from poor choices? You know, you go out and you eat bad stuff. If you drink this type of water, this quality of water, the Divinia water, deuterium low water, will that help facilitate health? Will it help reverse some of the march down the road to illness that people everywhere seem to be on these days?
Oh, yeah. We ask people to do blood tests on a regular basis, especially if they have some health problems. The reason they start drinking Divinia, that we have a lot of people now on the water who have had health problems and have recovered from those, and don't want them anymore, and they just keep drinking the water because they don't want to go back to the state they were in. But we ask people to do blood tests, and then I take the blood test, and I might plot it over several months or a year or two for them so that they can see what their body's doing. And so I'll look at the creatinine, the ALT levels, the AST levels, sodium, calcium, you know, whatever markers there are there. And I plot it for them. And they can actually see how their bodies have improved and related to how they feel. And it's a very scientific way of doing it. And I give them a chart of their history, and they'll look at that and go, yeah, you know, I started feeling better in May, and here it is June, and now I'm really feeling good. And I drank it, and then I got off of it in September, and gee, things started going back downhill. I said, well, look at your blood. It started decaying too at the same time. and then they get back on it. So yes, we do plot it out for them. And yes, you know, you can prevent diseases, or you can try to stop them after you have them. We had one gentleman who was in a nuclear accident, and it was an extreme nuclear accident. And he got probably 15,000 times the amount of radiation you'll get during your lifetime from the sun. And he got that in 3 seconds out of the nuclear site out here. And so, of course, he got sick. His liver and kidneys were dying. He had acid reflux. He was bleeding out of the nose and the ears and everything else. And the doctor said they'd make him comfortable. So he died. His ferritin levels went up to 1,500. And normal ferritin levels around 30 to 40. This was the 1,500. But what happened is that uranium plutonium had seeped its way or had been absorbed into his bones. They couldn't get it out of his bones and he went through elation. So he got on the water. And it took him probably about 6 months to recover. But he's perfectly healthy now. And no signs of radiation problems whatsoever. And his ferritin levels finally came down to normal because they chelated all the uranium and plutonium out of his cells. And we've noticed a lot of other effects. It actually increases your red blood cells' capability to carry more oxygen, which is really interesting. And the athletes even noticed that because they had more endurance. What it did was it made the red blood cells get smaller, but it increased their amount by 15 to 20%. So there were more of them to be able to carry it. And of course, if you make more of a sphere or a ball smaller, but you increase the number of them, increase the surface area. And what it did was increase the surface area to be able to carry more oxygen. And they had an ability to have 5 to 10% more oxygen in their body than what they had before. Which for an athlete, that's huge.
Time goes so quickly. How can my listeners reach you?
If they go to our website, www.divinia.com, DIVINIAwater.com. There are options for them to purchase the water. They can buy them in 12 packs or 24 packs, or we have a lot of people who just get on a subscription where it's delivered every week to their house. We have people on yearly subscriptions to it, and we are working on getting into Whole Foods now. Whole Foods has accepted us. We have to do some things to change the SKU number on our bottle and change the label a little bit, and then we'll be eventually sold through Whole Foods at this point. We are sold in some stores out here in California also. Okay. Well, thank you so much, and I really, you're a great host. Thank you very much. And I appreciate that you being in the medical profession are trying to help people realize that their health starts with themselves. It's about knowledge and faith and knowing what to do, you know, the right things.
I'd like to thank you so much for coming on today. I learned a great deal. I'm sure my listeners did as well. I want to thank everybody for listening to Living in the Solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.